Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading a couple stories because I know how badly you all want longer stories. Let's start off with the first one, and I'll introduce the second one when we get into it. The first one is called, "In This Place, Anyone Without a Name is Shot on Sight. I'm Forced to Pretend that I Still Remember My Name," by Cyber Crustacean Zero from Reddit. I hope you enjoy this story. Let me know if you do, and let's get started. I remember stumbling through the forest at night. I was on my hands and knees. The gun had fallen from my hand, and I could feel the dirt and snow between my fingers. Not too far off was a faint light. I squinted, focusing on the ground beneath me. At that moment, I heard a sound, a rustle and a crack a short distance away. It sounded as if it were moving away. It was impossible to focus. I had no idea where the noise was coming from, or where it was going, or what was making it, but it was close. My fingers brushed against a hard metal object. The gun. I had found it. I picked it up and brought myself to my feet. When I rose, the light was no longer visible. I flinched suddenly. A gunshot. I saw a burst of light far away. I listened carefully. There was another bang, quickly followed by four more in rapid succession, briefly tainting the scene with splotches of light. Then I heard another sound, a wild, desperate scream. It was silenced only moments later. I couldn't care less about the gunshot, or the scream, or even the ominous sounds around me. I had to get out of the cold. I began walking towards the scream, toward the location of the light that was now extinguished. I walked and soon found myself on the edge of a clearing. In the middle of the clearing was a small, decrepit wooden cabin. The cabin seemed to tilt right, then left, and focus in and out. It was becoming hard to stay conscious, but I had to keep walking. I stumbled against the door, and as soon as I stepped inside, the sound from the forest cut off and I fell forward. That was all I remember from that night. That's all I remember at all. The memory of where I was or how I had gotten there eludes me. I woke on the cold wooden floor lying face down. My face ached and my muscles were tense. I sat up and looked around. The cabin was a single room in a complete mess. Old books, papers, and various objects were strewn about. There was charcoal in the fireplace, some of it burnt. The rest scattered across the hearth as if someone had tried to extinguish the fire in a hurry. There was a rucksack propped up against the wall next to the fireplace. It was a standard green and brown model with dozens of miscellaneous items tied to the sides, objects that were too large to fit adequately into the main compartment, a large roll of fabric, a metal pot, and a small hatchet hanging off the back. I examined the items briefly, then reached for the zipper and pulled it open. I threw its contents on the floor. I saw tightly packed rolls of clothing, bags and bottles and cans and packages. None of these were immediately useful to me. None of these told me where I was or even who I was. I reached for a smaller pocket on the outside of the rucksack. Inside was a book. Finally, I thought, information. I pulled out the book and looked at the hard leather cover. Alex. There was no title, no dates, and besides the name on the cover, it was entirely unadorned. Judging by the survival equipment in the rucksack, whoever this Alex was, their situation must have surely been similar to my own. I could only hope this book contained useful information. I opened the first page. A survivor with no name must be shot on sight. It was an absurdly vague point, yet it made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. My name was the thing that eluded me the most. My life and my experiences were incomprehensible blurs of motion, but at least I could recognize the emotions for what they were. My identity, however, was a complete void. What could be the purpose of that warning, I thought. Perhaps a person who wouldn't say their name could not be trusted. No, it couldn't be that simple. The list went on for an incredible amount of pages, and each note seemed more absurd than the last. At some point, I had stopped reading the notebook altogether and was simply trying to make sense of what it was about. The points were all about staying safe, not trusting people, and avoiding infection. Some were common sense, like knowing where your north is, but others were far stranger, like only ever cutting your hair outdoors and always cutting it as short as possible to avoid contamination. My own hair was quite short, and I wondered whether this rule may have been common knowledge for me at some time, but why couldn't I remember? I closed the book and leaned back. I looked down at the leather cover. Alex, I thought to myself. My name is Alex. It was simple, really. If I didn't have a name, I would take one for myself until I could remember my real name. Alex. It was as good a name as any. Then, if anyone were to ask my name, I could say it, and the rule would be satisfied. Whatever the reason behind the note, I knew it was important to have a name. Alex, I said out loud to see how natural I could make it sound. Alex, I repeated. What is your name? I said, as if speaking to a stranger. It's Alex. I looked back at the notebook. Alex wasn't my name. It was theirs, the owner of the rucksack. My real name was lost. It would have been nice to know what it was, but at least I could give myself one. I could start somewhere. Whoever the real Alex was, he was dead, and here I was, searching through his stuff and stealing his name. I told myself it didn't matter anymore. I was startled suddenly. A knock on the door, then three more. I shot up and scrambled to the entrance, searching for the gun I had dropped the night before. I found it and wrapped my hand around the handle, but before I could get up, the door opened. Your name? What is it? A voice said from the entrance. I turned around slowly, lifting my eyes to see the woman in the doorway. I saw through the barrel of a large shotgun. Her fingers tensed as I hesitated to speak. Alex, I said. It's Alex. I saw her grip ease slightly, and the barrel was lowered. What is your name? I said, hoping to make it sound natural. Anna, she said. She passed through the doorway with a quick step and shut the door behind her. You're early. She looked around the room with a look of mild disgust, the shotgun still loose in her arms, pointing at the floor. Why is the fire out? I thought for a moment. There was a situation last night. I was forced to extinguish it, I said. She gave me a scornful look. Your name checks out, so I suppose you're the Alex I was supposed to meet. If it weren't for that, you'd be dead, but don't think I won't be keeping an eye on you. We have a lot to talk about. What I had gotten myself into? What was I supposed to do? I didn't know who Alex was or why Anna was expecting to meet them. I had to play along. I walked over to where Anna was standing. Do you have access to the city yet? She said. I had to place myself in Alex's shoes. Even if I didn't know who he was or where the city was, I thought about the night before, about the gunshot, the scream. No, I don't. It's a good thing I'm here then. I didn't say anything. Suddenly my arm twitched violently. I panicked and reached for it with my other hand to hold it still. My breath caught in my throat. I didn't know what the twitch was, but whatever it was, Anna was suspicious enough already. I looked up toward her, expecting to see through the barrel of her gun again. The shotgun was still pointing toward the ground, and her gaze was set on the fireplace. She hadn't seen the sudden movement. The twitch. What had it been? Anna looked at the ground for a few moments, then spoke. We'll leave for the city as soon as the sun goes down. You're lucky they decided to give you access, Alex. My mind focused again. I tried to forget about the twitch. The city? What city? Right, I suppose so. Security has been pretty tight lately. I'm not surprised. Infection rates are rising, she said. I can't say I blame them, I said, though I had no idea what I was talking about. Right, Anna said. If one of them gets inside, it's all over. I'm glad you understand. This time I felt it coming before it happened. Another twitch. I felt it creeping up my neck like an insect. I had to shake it away. But if Anna saw me, what then? I didn't know what that twitch was, but I doubted it was anything good. I couldn't let her see. I'm gonna put my stuff back in the rucksack, I said, trying to hide my anxiety. Of course. As soon as I walked away, I shook my head violently to the side. The violent twitch was followed by a strange tingling sensation around my throat. Thankfully, Anna didn't see. Before I began picking up the items of the rucksack, I scrambled to find the journal. As soon as I found it, I flipped to the page I had last read, as if to answer my doubts. The very first sentence of the page read, Anyone who makes unexplained sudden movements must be shot on sight. I felt sick. The journal. It was about people like me. And the more I read, the more obvious this fact became. Amnesia is a sure sign of infection, said the final sentence of the page. I was the enemy in this journal? But why? Why was I dangerous? The book contained nothing to explain it. I finished packing the rucksack and stood up, walking to where Anna was standing. You ready, Alex? Yeah. I'm convinced you're not one of them, so I think we're ready to proceed. I'm going to give you access to the city, but you have to promise me something first, she said. Of course. If you feel any symptoms, and I mean any, put a bullet in your brain before you step foot in the city. My body tensed. Alex, you have to understand what would happen if one of them got inside. The city is the only place left. If it falls, there won't be anywhere left in the world to hide. Do you promise? I didn't want to die. Surely there was another way. There had to be. Alex, did you hear me? No, I wouldn't give up. I couldn't die yet. Not when my past was a blur of memory. The way I saw it, my life had just begun. Why did it have to start in this awful nightmare? Before I could even speak, we heard a noise outside the cabin. A sudden gasp as if someone had surfaced after being underwater for too long. Anna ran outside before I even had time to process what was happening. I quickly followed behind. We circled the cabin until we reached the wall where the sound had come from. There, slumped against the wall of the cabin, was a man covered in blood and snow with a rifle on his lap. His wounds were vicious and erratic. His eyes were wide and his face was pale. He looked terrified. What the hell? Anna whispered. The man gasped for air. Realization hit me like a train. The gunshots. The scream. He was alive. Alex, do you know who this is? Do you know what happened? Anna turned to face me. The man looked at her, then slowly turned and looked at me. I don't know, I said. He must have been here before I arrived. The man held my gaze, and there was something else behind his eyes. Something unmistakable and undeniable. Anger. He knew. This was Alex? The real Alex? If he revealed that truth, it would be the end of me. He opened his mouth. No, he wheezed. He's one of them, I yelled, drowning out the man's words before he could reveal his identity. I didn't even know who they were. I just had to say something. Anything. The injured man said nothing. He simply stared up at me with the same silent, judging eyes. He looked sad somehow. I saw him tense his arm around the rifle on his lap. A deafening, loud sound rang out. I turned away as I felt my ears ringing. The sound had caught me off guard, and it took me a while to recover. When I looked back, the wall behind the man was covered in fresh blood. Damn it! Why did he have to reach for the rifle? Anna said. Smoke was coming out of the barrel of her shotgun. But I suppose you're right. He was probably dead meat anyway. My stomach sank. This was my fault. The real Alex was dead, and there I was with his name and the knowledge that if he had revealed who he was, Anna would have pulled a bullet through my chest. At least the real Alex is dead, I thought, and the information has gone with him. But the man was still breathing. Anna had aimed low. His stomach was a mess, but he was still breathing. He opened his mouth. No, I'm Alex. Shot, short, barely audible, but incriminating nonetheless. An awful moment of silence. There was no way out of this. You bastard, Anna screamed. As soon as I saw the barrel of the shotgun trained on my chest, I ducked out of the way. The shot rang out and set a spray of splinters around me. I dashed behind the corner of the cabin and ran toward the door. I had to get my pistol. Alex had gotten a shotgun shell to his stomach because of me, and now Anna would do the same to me. I felt terrible, but I didn't have time to question my decision. I rushed through the door just as I heard another shotgun blast. Glass sprayed the interior of the cabin. I lunged toward the table where my pistol was, wrapping my hand around it as my back fell to the ground. Anna charged through the door and fired. But my body was already against the ground and she had aimed too high. The trigger didn't budge when I pressed it. Even though the gun was mine, I had no memory of how to use it. Anna adjusted her aim. The gun clicked, but nothing happened. She was out of ammunition. I flicked a switch on the side of my gun. My finger was so tense around the trigger that the pistol fired immediately and unexpectedly. My ears rang and I turned my head away from the light. 3 more shots were fired, though I didn't look up to see where they had landed. When the smoke cleared from the pistol, I raised my head. The door was wide open, and Anna was gone. I shot to my feet and ran toward the door, but before I could step outside, I saw her. Anna was lying in the snow outside. Her shotgun was pointing up at me. It clicked harmlessly again and again. Blood was running down her lips. After staring at me for a few moments, she dropped the shotgun and brought her hands to her neck. It seemed only one of my shots had hit the target. Blood spurted between her fingers. I stumbled backward and fell against the floor. I couldn't bear it. What had I done? I didn't even understand what was happening, what I had done to deserve this. I had acted on instinct. I never meant to kill anyone. I told myself again and again that I had no choice. I'm writing this now in that cursed journal, the one that warns of people like me. But maybe I truly am the enemy. After all, I am responsible for the corpses outside. But what choice did I have? I had to survive. The real Alex is dead, and even though it was not me who pulled the trigger, his blood is on my hands. Maybe Anna was right. He was going to die anyway. Anna carried with her a map, and more importantly, a card. Access to the city gates, it says. The twitching has gotten worse. It's almost uncontrollable now. And there is a certain hunger growing within me. Though, I don't know what it is or what it wants. Is this the infection the book spoke of? Maybe there, in the city, they can help me. This is the end of the first one. The second story is called My Friend's Body Was Found, But She Is Right in Front of Me, by Mariah D.T. Beebe. Let's get started. I want to start this off by saying I'm horrified. My friend Kayla has been living with me for a few years now. We decided to rent an apartment together since it would be cheaper than trying to live on our own. Carla is a very outdoorsy person. She loves nature, herbs, flowers, and animals. She's basically the biggest hippie you could ever know. I love her for it. We get along great because I too love all of those things, just on a much calmer level. Carla often takes long camping trips, sleeping in the woods for weeks with no socials or contact. I could never spend that much time outdoors. I love being outside, but I couldn't handle the sweat, bug bites, and lack of social interaction. A couple of months ago, she took on a particularly grueling camping trip in the mountains. She would be backpacking through the woods, carrying around her tent, food, water, and supplies. I was a little worried for her, but I knew if anyone could do it, it would be her. Carla set off on her trip. We had hugged and talked before she left, and I wished her well. I knew I wouldn't be hearing from her, since she would always turn off her phone when she got to the forest. She was planning to be gone for 3 weeks, which was the longest she had been gone for. The apartment was incredibly lonely in her absence. After the first week, my phone pinged and a message from her lit up my screen. I was a bit shocked because, like I said before, she never used her phone on her trips. There was a picture of a waterfall in the forest. It was beautiful. It led down into a stream surrounded by flowers and beautiful elm trees. There was a giant willow tree in the foreground, beyond the stream. The picture came with a message that read, "Thinking of you, smiley face." I hearted the picture and replied, "I'm surprised you turned on your phone, but it is beautiful." She simply hearted my reply, and we went back to radio silence. A few days passed, and I got another message from her. It was another picture, this time of a ruined cottage. It was falling down, the roof almost completely collapsed into the house. Trees and plants wrapped around it, and butterflies flew past the screen, landing on flowers that were darted out across the long grass. This time, the only text was a simple heart emoji. I hearted the picture and sent back, "How is the trip going?" My message was seen, but she never replied. I didn't think much of it. I figured her phone had probably died. Over a week out in the forest with no charger, I wondered how its battery would have lasted this long. I was making myself some ramen noodles when I heard the front door unlock. I jumped back, startled, as Carla walked into the room. She set down her things. She was covered in dirt, sweat, and honestly looked like crap. Holy Kay, are you okay? I said, truly concerned. She looked up at me and her eyes felt lifeless. Everything's good, Sasha. Just really need to shower. I thought it was strange. She wasn't supposed to be home for days, and she never called me by my full name. She's been calling me Sash since we first met. Carla took her things to her room and spent a few hours in the bathroom. She came out in fresh clothes and looked a lot better, but she had fresh scratches across her arms. Scabs on her face and her eyes looked haunted, like she has seen something that had scarred her. Is everything okay? You don't seem right, I pried. I'm fine, Sasha. It's just been a crappy week, okay? She said in a harsh tone, a tone I'd never known she had. I backed off. I went to bed early that night, hoping tomorrow she'd be ready to talk about what happened. Carla didn't sleep that night. I heard rustling around in the kitchen, since my bedroom had been a wall behind it. I thought it was weird, but I fell back to sleep anyway. The next morning, I was watching TV on the couch when Carla stepped out of her room. Can you turn that crap down? She yelled and slammed her door. I was startled and fumbled for the remote. I'm sorry, I didn't know it was so loud. I turned the TV down. It wasn't that loud, though. I never listened to the TV loud, as it would bother me. The tension was high and I didn't understand what was happening. I was scrolling TikTok on my phone, trying to drown out my thoughts when a text appeared. It was from Carla. Another picture. This time it was a cave opening. Flowers and vines coated the stone around the cave, and a little bird was perched on a small plant in the view of the camera. The message read, "My trip has been going really well. Tomorrow I'm going to be hiking up the mountain." I was incredibly confused, and my heart started to beat a little faster. I didn't reply. I didn't understand what kind of mind games she was playing, but I was pissed. She came out of her room and sat down at the kitchen counter. She was reading a book I had never seen before. It was in a language I couldn't make out. I shut off the TV and went back into my room. I didn't say a word to her, and she didn't say anything to me. I took to scrolling Facebook, looking at pointless memes, AI images, and the occasional town news article. I'd been scrolling for a few minutes when an article appeared with the cover image of Carla. It was a picture I had taken of her, and the caption of the article read, "Body of mutilated hiker identified." I was astounded. My heart raced and my hands became clammy. The article was real. It was posted that day from our local police station. It had hundreds of comments mourning the loss of my very alive friend. I kept reading. "The body discovered on June 3rd has been identified as Carla Ray Rhodes, a 23-year-old resident of Elmwood. The cause of death has been determined to have been an animal attack. It is believed that Carla had been mauled by a mountain lion in the night. Family has been informed and funeral services will be announced as soon as possible." I dropped my phone. June 3rd. It's only 3 days after she had left. She had sent me the first text message, a week into her trip. On the 7th day of June, I read through our texts, the dates, the times. My heart raced and my thoughts consumed my mind. How is this possible? Who is in my apartment? Who has been texting me? What the hell happened to Carla? I'm devastated, horrified. I immediately texted Carla's mom, who confirmed the article and apologized for not calling me sooner. As I sit here writing this, whatever is pretending to be my dead friend is still sitting in my kitchen, eating our food, reading a book in a language I have never seen, with intentions I can't begin to understand. My phone buzzed. And another photo from Carla. This time it was a selfie of her in the woods, a big smile across her face. No scars, no scabs. She looked perfectly fine. And the message read, "Do you miss me?" And that's the end of these stories. I really hoped you enjoyed them. Let me know down below wherever you are. Thank you for listening. I really do appreciate it. If you'd like to support this channel, you can do so by liking, subscribing, following wherever you're listening from. And there's a Patreon available if you feel so inclined. So, like everyone always says, like and subscribe, or else I'll see you in the next one.